This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D here on The Fan. Tobes in for Jeeps. We are here. No better place to catch every game with us than Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. Join The Fan this afternoon. We are here until 6:30. Come on by, knock off work, and hang out. Opening round of the men's tournament. Doing our shows live at Tap, Mouthwater, and Game Day Bites. All of the TVs. The tournament headquarters is waiting. Only at MGM at National Harbor. Can't beat it. Place a little wager. Watch some sport. It's the best, Jerry. The best. Also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by our friends, law firm of Condori and Morai. They can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, put together the medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So Toby didn't say spoiler alert in his update. By the way, we call this the Toby. It's where you basically produce the show. You help book like the Beltway Blitz today.
Sure.
You're doing updates for the show.
Sure.
And you're co-hosting the show today.
Sure.
That's the Altizer.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you do all three. It's like the Triple Lindy.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, which I love. It's awesome. Crush it, man. Always fun to hang out with you. So you didn't say spoiler alert in your update? Because I'm like, I'm going to tell you who it is, and now you know.
I ruined your tease.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm not upset about it. I mean, I had a salad today, so it's like I've done some good. Aaron Rodgers visited Pittsburgh, and there's no deal yet. Nothing's imminent. Tom Pelissero was very careful to say that. But here's my point. Here's my view on this, and I want to see what you guys think about it. To me, this is the only place he should go. He may not get all the things that he wants if the Giants are still horned up for him and they do it. And he's like, I want to do more Pat McAfee somehow. Like, even though I do some Pat McAfee, I want to do more. I want to do more podcasts. I want to do more things that aren't football, etc. Maybe the Giants would let him do it. I don't know. To me, the only way it can work this time with Aaron Rodgers, because it's no longer the guy that's the MVP of the league that's thrown for 50 touchdowns and three picks and, you know, 4,800 yards. It's just incredible. That guy ain't walking through the door. A guy that still can sling it a little bit. I mean, he had as many passing touchdowns as Josh Allen did last year. Do we realize that? The MVP of the league. Or the guy that should have finished second to Lamar Jackson. But I digress.
I think they got it right.
Is it for best player on Buffalo or for MVP of the league? Anyway, it should have been. No, the point is, Aaron Rodgers, statistically, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't good. I'm not telling you it was.
Yeah, it's a weird
thing,
though. But it
wasn't that
horrendous. You can look at his season last year and see what you want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you want to say Aaron Rodgers still got it, you can find a way. You want to say Aaron Rodgers is washed, you can turn on the film and say he's washed. It was a weird dichotomy where you could see both sides of it last year.
Yeah, nowhere near prodigious enough as a passer. Sub 4,000 yards despite playing 17 games, which just tells you the story. And it wasn't like they're winning a bunch and they're handing it off a million times. And, you know, this is a ground and pound Rex Ryan Jets team with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. No, they were trailing. You were slinging. Still just not prolific at all. So the fastball isn't there anymore, you would say. I think that's pretty safe. But still, better than a lot of guys. Played better than a lot of quarterbacks did last year. Overall, when we start looking at some of the numbers and individual moments, you're still seeing those creativity plays where he's, you know, buying some time, sliding, not maybe as fast as he used to, you know, throwing back across his body to Davante Adams, toe tapping to the back of the end zone, etc. So if it's going to work, my point is it's got to go. You got to go somewhere where they have such a good culture, such a good place that they can deal with annoying bullcrap. That place is Pittsburgh to me. There are a handful of teams that can fold in the quote-unquote problem guy. And the problem guy can be a million different ways. It can be the diva receiver. It can be the legal trouble Larry. It can be something hanging over his head. It could be whatever Aaron Rodgers is. I don't even know what to categorize that. Yeah. It's like its own subcategory, Topes. Where the guy's out of his mind, just a total pain in the butt, and maybe the production doesn't match. There are only a handful of places where you could do that. I would say one day in Washington, I want to get to the point where you can get the risky guy. Because like the Capitals have a culture that's so good, you take a dude that previously was thought of as kind of spoiled, kind of a guy that underachieved and had a bad attitude. Pierre-Luc Dubois, sorry, career year, he's excellent. One of the main reasons why they're as good as they are.
Yeah.
You take a guy that's been a disappointment elsewhere, Brett Connolly, 30-goal scorer just about. That's what they do. That's what this organization has done. Their culture is so good, you fold in new people. Not good like Bruce Allen said, but actually good, like legitimately good. You get the best out of guys. That's awesome. Pittsburgh, with Mike Tomlin, can deal with it. They need to, in fact. They've been doing this thing where they're just aggressively mediocre, trying to get by with dudes like Russell Wilson and whomever you want, and it ain't working. They're in a really tough division. That's not getting any easier. That's as bad as Cincinnati's going to be, I think, for the foreseeable future. That's as down a year as you could imagine them having. If they're healthy, they're formidable. They're a championship contender. They're the only team that Kansas City's going, I don't really want to see those guys. They're not afraid of anybody else. They don't like Cincy. And you know what Baltimore's going to be? Pittsburgh is this perennial 8-9, 9-8 kind of team. And I know they have losing seasons very often, but that's kind of the muck they've been stuck in. They got some decent pieces. The only place that it might work out for Aaron Rodgers, where they've got an outstanding culture, is there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know why it would be the attractive thing for Pittsburgh. It seems like at some point they have to make a move to get a real quarterback. They have to. Because the idea that, and this is why I know you guys are big, Grant and you are big Tomlin fans, and I think most people are, but at some point it's got to get back to the Steelers' standard of winning Super Bowls and not just, hey, guys, we didn't finish below 500 again.
Hey.
But by some way, with Kenny Pickett, mm-hmm. we finished above 500 or at 500. When did that become the Steelers' standard? That's never been the Steelers' standard. It's about championships.
Right.
And so at some point, they have to get a real quarterback in there. They haven't had one since Ben, and they rode Ben until they possibly could. And then ever since then, it's been a disaster. And Rodgers is just throwing a Band-Aid on a quick fix, and it's not going to fix anything. Like, I think it would help you in that division, obviously, having him versus whatever else you're going to roll with. But does he suddenly propel you to being a legitimate contender in the AFC, which is stacked year after year? No, it does not. You're in the same spot again. So if you want to go and say, hey, we could win 9-10 games with Rodgers, we'll sneak into the back end of the playoffs, we'll lose, we'll get the same conversation over again, but I'm going to keep my job because I never have a losing season, I'm always in the playoffs, fine. I think that fits exactly what you're trying to do. But I just don't understand why they would entertain the idea of bringing that much drama that there is with Rodgers. To your point, I think if there's a place in the NFL right now that has that sort of opening that could find a way to maybe tame Aaron Rodgers a little bit, it is Pittsburgh. But I just don't know how it makes sense for them. For Rodgers, I think it makes sense because it's a team that could win. Because realistically, what? There's three options for him. Minnesota has kind of pulled themselves out of the fight. But I think if push came to shove, maybe they'd still consider him a little bit later in the offseason. So Minnesota's still an option, I think. The Giants, I don't understand any allure to them. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm about to ride off into the sunset, why the heck would I want to go play for the New York Giants so I can lose again? What the heck does that gain me?
Right.
I want to go win. So Pittsburgh probably makes the most sense. And so in that case, maybe they marry up perfectly. But if I'm Pittsburgh, at some point I got to look in the mirror and say, are we trying to win a Super Bowl, or are we just trying to be relevant all the time? Because it used to be that Super Bowls were the standard. Right now it seems like it's just about finishing above 500, and Rodgers can get you there. I don't think he's getting you a Lombardi, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. So two separate discussions to me. If you're the Steelers, or if I'm anybody, I don't do this. This is just not what I major in. I don't do the bridge quarterback. I think it's a bridge to more bridges. I think it's the most foolish, nonsensical thing. Every once in a while, it'll work better than maybe a team plan, and you end up lucky. I would say that was the case with Detroit, to be honest with you, right? I mean, they taking on Jared Goff's deal, it wasn't about Goff. It was about the draft picks and a bunch of the stuff they got back. And it turns out that bridge quarterback, when you married him with Ben Johnson, you got beautiful music. Goff has put up great numbers since he got there to Detroit, right? So sometimes it works. But for me, for the most part, 90-some percent of the time, almost without fail, that bridge quarterback thing, you are Cleveland, you are Washington, you are Chicago, and you are pre-Jared Goff, I suppose, Detroit, where you just can't get the spot right, and you're always chasing. You don't finish bad enough to get one of the top three or four in one of those years where it's worth doing, and you end up picking in the late teens or picking in the 20s, and you go, let's try Kenny Pickett. Let's try the next leftover thing. And you never bottom out because you won't do it. There's a big parallel for me between organizations, the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball and the Pittsburgh Steelers in football. Both believe, and I happen to know this for the Cardinals' perspective, one guy that was a huge mentor, older brother figure in our life, his family was part of the ownership group of the Cardinals. And so he worked there and, you know, obviously follows them incredibly closely. And they don't tank.
No.
It's not in their DNA. They will not. They won't do it. And there's something to be said for it. When everybody else is going, well, we could get a little better, we're not and spend a bunch of money, we're not going to do that. They go, that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll go trade for the guy. We'll let someone walk, and we'll find the Cardinal way. One of these guys will come up. So every once in a while, when their next slew of prospects doesn't work out, when Jordan Walker doesn't turn out to be a star, when Lars Nootbaar is just a guy, and you go up and down the list, you end up with a team that all of a sudden is old and probably not going to be very good this year in improving NL Central. This is not a Cardinals breakdown. It's just sort of a matter of fact. And they probably would have been better off a couple times had they just been bad, thinking about St. Louis and or Pittsburgh. But they won't do it. It's not who they are. So from their perspective, you're 100% right. I would not do this. I would not be in this business. I don't do a one-year solution when I'm, you know, not one player away from winning a championship. How many cautionary tales do we need? So that's conversation one. Conversation two, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm not leaving Pittsburgh. Somebody else might offer me more. Now, it depends on what you want. If you still want to be able to do the full Aaron Rodgers 360 panoramic where you're Pat McAfee-ing, saying weird stuff and having Netflix documentaries about you,
yeah,
and you know, trying this experimental thing where you're seeing the pyramids but on peyote, I got no idea what he wants to do. If it's just assuming it's a regular football conversation where you're interested in sort of, you know, taking back your legacy to a degree, I'm not leaving Pittsburgh, man. I'm going to stay right there. I'll sign a deal, and I'll make it so that I've got a pretty good group around me that could maybe use a playmaker or two, but Pittsburgh ain't bad, right? That might give me my chance to actually make it work. And if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm going, all right, if we're doing this, none of the bogus stuff, none of the BS. We're not indulging it for even a microsecond. That's the only way this works.
The tough part for me is I actually think there is a good fit outside of Pittsburgh, and I think Minnesota can make it work, but I just don't think that Aaron Rodgers, at this point in his career, is willing to fit into an offense. The problem for Rodgers is, and I got to cover him for a little bit of time, you know, the MVP years and then kind of the little bit of fall off after that before he ultimately left for New York. I got to cover him when I was in Milwaukee, and I think the problem that Rodgers ran into as he started to decline after those MVP seasons, after they drafted Jordan Love in Green Bay, is he was trying to build an offense around Aaron Rodgers where Aaron Rodgers was still 25. And Aaron Rodgers is obviously no longer that guy. And the same stuff that I saw in a disappointing year for the Green Bay Packers, his last season there, is the same stuff that I saw with the Jets. Obviously, last year it was kind of a lost cause. This past season, you know, he was just not anything that special. And I think if he were willing to fit into an offense, Danny, where if he went to Kevin O'Connell and said, I'm going to run your offense, you're in charge, then I think they can make it work. Because I think what you saw Jordan Love step in and do and play well under Matt LaFleur, that was more LaFleur's offense, not Aaron Rodgers. And I think the reason it fell off is Aaron Rodgers' offense doesn't work in the NFL anymore, where Aaron Rodgers is 40-plus and can't move like Aaron Rodgers of old and can't do the same things like he used to. If he would just play in Kevin O'Connell or maybe even if he were to stick in Pittsburgh and Arthur Smith's offense, I think he can make it work because I think he's still an above-average quarterback if he were to play that way, but he doesn't do it. And so if I could get buy-in from Aaron Rodgers to say, hey, man, just trust your reads, throw it to the guy that's open, throw the ball to Jefferson, throw the ball to Addison. I actually think if I were Kevin O'Connell, I'd be interested in that because J.J. McCarthy, his rookie season, was wasted with an injury. Mm-hmm. He couldn't really develop. The only thing that you were able to do was get him mental reps. So physically, he's still got to get used to the NFL reps and going through all that. I think it'd be good for them to give him another year sitting. But I don't think that I could bring in an Aaron Rodgers And I think he'd be a good mentor, by the way. I think you heard that from his time in New York and even with Jordan Love and Green Bay. He was never like Favre was to him. He was more than willing to help out if you ask questions. But I think if he were willing to fit into an offense and run what is asked, I think he could still be a good quarterback and maybe play a few more seasons. But I also have a hard time believing that's going to happen. And so that kind of, for me, why would I want to bring in Aaron Rodgers to run Aaron Rodgers' offense?
Yeah, do I have to get Alan Lazard and Nathaniel Hackett and everybody?
I can't do that anymore. So I don't know where the fit is. I would laugh if it ends up being the Giants. Frankly, I just... It's weird where we've gotten because he's so talented. He's so good. Obviously, the last leg of his career, not the same guy he was, you know, a decade ago. But I just don't know where he ends up. I don't know how it makes sense for a team. I don't know how it fully makes sense for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to play next season. But I would not be the one to pull the trigger on that.
Back-to-back MVP awards, averaging about 70% completions, 4,250. Yards, 4,250 yards. This is the average of 2 years. 42.5 touchdowns and 4.5 picks. That was his average over two seasons just a couple of years ago. How long ago does that seem playing-wise, though? You know what
forever.
I mean? Like, it seems like forever. Because that last season you touched on, you saw the beginnings of this, of the cracks, at the end of that 2021 season. Where, go back to 2020, COVID year, he was averaging 9.1% yards per completion. Like, think about that. Yards per attempt. That number dropped so precipitously the following year down to 7.7, and it started to get worse from there. You could see it as it was going. It wasn't the – now, I know some things change, receiver personnel changes and whatever, but you could see that prolific ability to sling it with a flick of a wrist, the Hail Marys that he would get, and everything in between wasn't quite the same anymore. And then 2022, we fell off, 23, the injury, and now 24, we have all the messes. So buy or sell what I'm saying here. 800-636-1067. Forget if you would want him or not, if you're Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's the only place it might work for him. If he's willing to not do any of the bullcrap, just pipe down and do what you're supposed to do and let Mike Tomlin welcome him into the fold. That's what I'm selling. 800-636-1067. Are you buying it? Next on The Fan. Live from Tap Sports Bar, MGM, National Harbor. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Toby sitting in for Jeeps. Another hour to go. Hot and heavy with the tournament action. Great foodstuffs. Hanging out with a whole bunch of fans. A bunch of listeners have come up and said hello throughout the day. People are glued to the televisions, glued to their wings, and glued to all the fun that we are having here this afternoon. It is the best. I love this. This is my favorite couple of days of the year in the sports calendar. You get lovely things like Alex Ovechkin scoring a whole bunch of goals for the best team in the NHL, possibly, in the Washington Capitals as they march toward the postseason. You get the unbelievable heat that is the NCAA tournament. I mean, the swings of emotion where St. Mary's in California was down big to Vanderbilt. Slowly but surely, they've crept back in it and have a chance to win now. They're up by three with a few minutes to go. These kinds of things are just awesome. It's the best thing going in terms of this tournament. Again, we talked about this yesterday, Tobes, but you start with, 68, but it's really 64 teams on Thursday. Within 96 hours, 75% of those teams are gone. They're at home, and that's it, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a good weekend, and nothing beats that Thursday and Friday when there's just wall-to-wall games, four on at a time. There's a brief respite around, 6 o'clock or so where you can maybe go grab some dinner, and then you're dialed back in until past midnight where there's hoops on. And by the way, the games last night, I don't know how late you stayed up to watch some of those. The games last night were good. The 3-14, UNCW was close there. What was the other game last night that was close? I can't remember exactly which game it was, but
yeah, I watched it. What did I see? It wasn't Purdue High Point. That was earlier in the day. Drake, Missouri was close until Drake pulled away. San Diego.
That was a good one with Michigan, and they came away with a
John Calipari won a tournament game
John
again.
John Calipari doing his thing. Like it just you can't beat it. You really can't beat it.
You know who heckled John Calipari when he was at UMass a couple times? Do you know? It was me. The point is, I yelled at him a lot.
Okay.
And then I yelled at his replacement, Bruiser Flint. So when he when Calipari left for Memphis, I think. Did he go to Kentucky first or Memphis first? Memphis first, I think. Yeah, right?
Memphis
first. So he left, but they were number one in the country a couple years in a row with Marcus Camby and Carmelo Travieso and Edgar Padilla, a bunch of those guys. Well, they come to Foggy Bottom, Tobes, and they got beat a couple years in a row. On 7-foot Alexander Cool and Shantae Rogers gave him the business a couple of times, which was a blast. And I had some choice words for Calipari. He looked at me once.
Okay.
He acknowledged me once. Bruiser Flint looked at me a lot. I yelled a lot at Bruiser Flint.
So here's the question. This might surprise you. Have you ever been
kicked out of a game?
Kicked out of a game.
I got real close. So, and I'm not proud of this. I'm telling you what happened.
Sure.
Right. I'm very mature now. I wouldn't do this now. But this is a confession. So okay, Tobes, I'm willing to trust you as long as you don't tell anybody. Okay. Here's what happened. I had some alcoholic beverages.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
There. All right, I did.
All right.
I imbibed. I consumed alcohols, and I went to the basketball game. I had probably more than I should. Some would say I was overserved.
Okay, sure.
I don't know whose fault it was. I don't know if it was a Ted Curley problem. I don't know if it was a Ryan Dacey problem. Could have been a Ron Christie problem. I don't know whose fault it was specifically. Might have been a John Green problem.
Not a Danny Ruye problem.
No, it wasn't my fault.
No.
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 And we were playing Duquesne. Okay. Duquesne's out of Pittsburgh. They're now good, which is weird, but they were not then. They were down at the bottom of the Atlantic 10 at that point. And a bunch of my buddies, we had some Pittsburgh connections on the squad, right? So my old teammates, Matt Walker, got drafted by the Tigers. Adam Bilicic was a guy that got drafted by the Orioles at various points. A couple of my teammates and a couple of the dudes, they knew some of these guys that were now on the Duquesne team. So they gave me fodder, all right? And I let these poor kids have it the entire game.
Nonstop.
It got to the point that one of the kids' dads came over.
Oh, no.
And he goes, why are you yelling at my kid? And I'm like, I don't know, man. He said, well, cut it out. I was like, no. He said, yeah, cut it out. I'm like, no, I'm not going to cut it out. He's like, why are you yelling at him? I was like, yeah, I know him. He goes, where do you know him from? I was like, before. Like, I just going back and forth. And so security sees this dad who's coming over putting a finger in my face, and I'm, like, you know, wilting a little bit. I'm not trying to fight anybody. Like, that's not really my thing.
Sure.
My thing is to yell a lot and make these guys uncomfortable. And so eventually security steps in, and one of the guys that was a big boss is like, you know, what's happening? And the dad's like, he's yelling at the players. And I was like, yes, I am. I'm yelling at the players and yelling at the coaches. And he's like, all right, well, are you cursing? I said, no. I have not said a single curse
Nailed
word.
It.
Have I, sir? And the guy was like, well, I don't think he's cursed, but I said, there you go. I haven't cursed. I haven't used any abusive language. Now I am. I said, I will admit that I'm heckling, but there's no rule that says you can't do that. There's no part of the handbook. There's no part of the student conduct thing. Guy goes, okay, if you curse, you're out of here. I said, no problem. Now, I will tell you that I was so embarrassing that my girlfriend at the time left.
Ooh,
she was so upset that she took off.
Yeah.
And it may have been a factor in the dumpage.
So, you've known me for a little bit. What, about 2 years, I'd say?
Yeah, a couple years for Toblerone. No, yes.
Know me a little bit?
No.
Do you think I've ever been kicked out of a basketball game before?
I'm going to say yes.
I have?
I'm going to say yes.
I have.
How'd you get kicked out?
In North Dakota, my little school, Maranatha Baptist University, proud alumni, Nate Oates and moi. Nate Oates, coach of Alabama.
Nate Oates.
A good win for the Tide today. So, conference regional tournament up in North Dakota. There was nowhere to eat. I was staying in South Dakota with a buddy. We would drive up. He knew someone there, so we were staying there. We'd drive up for the games. There was nowhere to eat. I think the only place you could grab food was at a random gas station. So we're middle of nowhere in North Dakota at this basketball tournament. And you know I'm a jersey guy in terms
you
of wearing
jersey
jerseys.
Guy, yes.
I think I'm wearing a bright yellow LeBron jersey to this game. I think that's what I was wearing.
Okay.
So I'm very easy to pick out. I'm sitting about the third row with about, you know, six other fans that are in the stands, not many. And my team was up for a majority of the game. About 6 minutes to go, the tide shifts.
Oh, no.
Bad foul calls, all seemingly going against the old Saber Cats, which is a terrible, terrible team name, but that's what we went with. And all of a sudden, some of our players start fouling out. The lead goes to the other team. And as I'm sitting in the third row, and I rightful ejection, ref's running down the floor. I said, this is pathetic. Finger right at him, said, get it together. He said, you're gone.
What? Off of that?
I mean, look, Danny, there's like five fans in the stands. I'm sitting in the third row, and it's finger point right at him.
Toby, that is a soft ejection.
It's a very soft.
Not on you. No, I'm saying on him.
I understand that. It's a very soft ejection, but
you can't run a fan for saying that's pathetic, get it together?
Yes. There was no foul language, none of that.
Wow.
But the finger pointing, look, it was a little bit of a soft league at times, Danny. I get that. But
man,
the finger pointing, and I was wrong. And then, matter of fact, our girls' team was playing afterwards, and I was trying to watch the rest of the game from behind the girls' team, and the ref kept looking at me like, can someone go get security, go get that guy? I'm like, all right, dudes.
Why don't you focus on the court, Hoss?
Like, can we please? So
Wow. Eventually
I went back out, and to be inconspicuous to come back in and watch our girls' team play, I went and changed jerseys.
Oh, because they did you go full mustache?
Yeah, I went and changed jerseys because it's kind of hard to hide when you're wearing a yellow Lakers jersey. You're kind of right there.
So unreal.
Went and changed, then, I was kicked out of a basketball game.
So it actually jogged my memory. I did get kicked out of the game once.
Oh.
And that's what this segment has turned into, by the way. So one of my best buddies played lacrosse at Yale. All right? So over Christmas break, we're all at home. Right. And, you know, I had a bunch of buddies that were college athletes. So we would get together, we'd work out, exercise, do whatever our workout program was. And then you got a lot of free time during the day. It's not enough time to get a job or anything. So it's like, you know, the best time. You're supposed to be studying, but come on. Right. So his girlfriend at the time played basketball at Yale. He was dating a player on the team. And they were playing, I think it was either Towson or UMBC. I want to say UMBC. So we got together, we did our morning workout, and we started annihilating beers. These poor beers thought, I'll probably make it through the day for true. I'll get through the end of the day. You'll see. The sun will come out tomorrow. We'll have our day in the sun. You'll see. Our number will come in. We were destroying these beers. So many beers were consumed. And that was it. No. So we drove up to the game. And my buddy had enough, like, Yale T-shirts, so we're just putting on Yale stuff.
Sure.
And, it's a small gym, so, like, where do you want us, whatever. And so, for some reason, they put us right behind the home team bench.
Oh.
They go, are you sure this is where you want us? Like, yeah, let's this section go right over here. And so, the entire time, it's a whisper-quiet gym. It's basically parents, a couple of siblings, a couple of, like, boyfriend, girlfriend type, whatever, and nobody else. That was it. And you could hear every word we said, and it finally got to the point where their coach complained enough, and they said, and they go, the security comes over, which ones? She goes, him, and him. Me, my friend, and my other friend. And we watched through, we were knocking on the door, going, let us back in, this is so soft, you know, like just pounding, get back in. And then we eventually waited by the car. And that was the end.
That's
so
right.
I got kicked out.
There we go, we both done it.
I got kicked out of a Yale women's basketball game. Who could say that?
Well, I got kicked out of a Maranatha Baptist University men's basketball game.
What's more obscure? What's it? Amaranth? Maranatha?
Maranatha.
Maranatha. That sounds like an obscure liquor.
It is.
Right? It's like made from elder flowers and a couple of Maranatha Baptist Uni in North Dakota at a conference tournament.
Yep.
Or kicked out of a Yale women's basketball game. That I think was at UMBC. I'm not sure.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was not a high point for your pal. But the beers were delicious. I had so many of them.
Always good to chirp. Always good to chirp.
And I was good at it. All right, so want to move on. I got a little tiny, I think it's a leak. How seriously do we take this leak? Do we think this leak is real for the jersey thing?
I'd say I'm like 80%+.
Yeah, so we've got a little sneak preview. It's an out-of-town preview, but it's in town. Okay, it's a little sneak preview. We'll tell you about what we saw. It involves a local team in town. And who's your low-key free agent that's going to help more than we think? Toby and I will give our answers. We'll do that here. Last couple segments. G&D on the Fan.
G&D here on the Fan, Tap Sports Bar, MGM at National Harbor, watching some tournament games. St. Mary's came back and beat Vanderbilt. That was exciting. A tight one here down the stretch. Plenty more games to come this evening. Maryland's at halftime up a bunch over Grand Canyon University. So before we get to kind of secret difference makers potentially here for Washington, upside signings and from the bargain basement bin, we got a leak here, and I don't want to disparage anybody. I also don't want to prematurely credit something that may or may not be real. So I don't really know how to do this or how it works. You're a young person, Tobes. Why don't you take the wheel here and sort of explain this to me? So I don't know who these accounts are. I don't know what I don't know. But do we think we've seen a preview of the National City Connect jerseys?
So from what I have seen,
yeah.
47, the brand, okay, which sells hats, T-shirts from time to time,
yep,
had accidentally, I believe, put this logo that is on the sleeve out.
Yeah.
So I'm believing this is real. I would say I'm 80% sure. Usually when you get these leaks, I mean, this happens, it seems, to every team. There's like 1 or 2 days beforehand, somehow someone gets a hand on these things and they come out. But
so I always think it's on purpose to kind of build the buzz.
Perhaps.
It's provocative. Gets the people moving.
Maybe. I mean, these look like these something that they would have designed to be the City Connects, and you know it's something that they're not going to have the cherry blossom unis anymore, which is something that's out of the rotation, not a Nats decision, but a Nike decision, which I don't necessarily love because I like those unis. But
those are awesome. I generally, as you know, couldn't be less of a jersey guy. I don't care. Uniforms are fine. Please stop making alternates. Please stop messing with them. When you've got something that's good, just leave it alone, please. But we all know that you need to do some kind of alternate, third alternate for the special day,
yeah,
to sell more stuff. I know what it is. I you know, eyes wide open. All of that said, those Cherry Blossom City Connect jerseys and shirts were
so
fantastic. Fantastic. And you never know when you're going to hit one. Most of the stuff, stupid. Like the thing that Grant loves when they're like, they're going to do the ugly Capitals uniforms that they correctly changed away from. They're going to wear those. And I'm like,
wait, so you don't like the black sweaters?
Wrong. They're so stupid. The Caps wear red. The Caps wear white. Please just do that. It's not rock the black sweater.
Speaking of which, by the way, we're matching a little bit today. You're going with the jersey. I'm going with the actual jersey.
Yeah, I went a John Carlson jersey.
Little Carly. I went a little Stromer.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, that's handsome.
A little Stromer.
A little Stromer. Yep. Shucha Stromer.
But,
so, yeah, I mean, to me, that the fact that they can't figure out a way to have that all the time is so annoying to me.
Correct.
But whatever. It's above my pay grade. I don't know. I don't care. Fine. What do we think of these, what we've seen so far?
So just to give you a little idea of what we're looking at, it's between a powder blue and a royal blue. Like, it's not full powder blue like you think Kansas City Royals.
Uh-huh.
But it's closer to that. The other blue that is an accent color on the shoulders is almost denim jeans color, right? Like kind of the color of the jeans you're wearing.
It's kind of like a throwback to the grays.
Yeah.
Like Homestead grays kind of a vibe in terms of the color in this one light. Now looking at this one of Dylan Cruz is just looking at me like his eyes are piercing. I'm like, why are you looking at me like that, Dylan? Are you mad? Like what happened, bro? That looks a little bit bluer. It depends on the light. I don't know. But what do you think?
So I don't hate them. The chest and back, the body of the jersey, seemingly has a pattern of the DC streets.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily love. Sometimes it's a little bit much. I had full anticipation on this, Danny, that I was going to hate them because I liked the cherry blossom
one so
much.
I just want that back, yeah.
I don't hate these. They're not a 10 by any means. They're not a home run. I don't even know that they're a single. It might be like a bloop single. It might be like a swinging bunt, something of that nature. But I don't think these are a strikeout. And I don't think they're horrible. I don't love them. But they're also not the worst thing I've ever seen. I've seen some pretty bad City Connects.
Yeah.
These aren't one of those, I don't think.
So this is going to be a weird answer. One of my favorite, and I'm not a big, I don't know, art like some people. I'm not some sort of genius art critic.
You don't
critic
run that Art But Sports account?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I'm jealous of that guy. Like, I don't know how that guy does that. He's like, oh, yeah, that's like, Michelangelo's painting of this thing that's obscure that no one knows. And it's like, it is? This guy just took a charge. Like, how do they have that? Anyway. But one of the coolest things I remember, I used to, I was telling my friend who's really smart. I was like, I think Impressionism is so stupid. I was like, just paint what it looks like, man.
Yes.
Like, I'd love to go to art galleries. I love art galleries. I'm sure, like, I'm always going to art galleries. But when I would go, I'd go, oh, my God, that looks just like a sunset.
Like, dude, that looks just like a field, man. That, like, how did you make it that lifelike? That's incredible. And what she explained to me, she goes, okay, come up, we're going to this impressionism. Like, I'm gonna make sure, I'm gonna see that you can understand this. She goes, make that little square with your thumb and forefinger, right? So you make an L, you make another L, you turn on its side, you make that little square, like a director looking at a shot, okay? And any place in the painting, hold it right there, look at any spot in the painting, I don't care where you paint it. Well, I said, okay, fine. And I pointed to that spot. And she goes, okay, how many colors do you see? I was like, one, no, wait, two, no, wait, three, oh, wait, four, five, six, seven, wait, nine. And I got up to like 17 in this one little tiny quadrant where you realize that like the little thing that you wouldn't notice unless you were looking at it of mustard, the little thing you wouldn't notice of that red that became kind of a pink, which bled into an orange, which gave you the sunset. And I kind of went, oh, my God, I get it. I get why it's incredible. Now, it's not for me necessarily, but now I see the talent in it, right? And here's where I'm going with that. When you're far away from one of these impressionist paintings to me, you're like, eh, this is the reverse of that. All right, you still with me? From far away, I'm going, that looks pretty cool. This reminds me of the kick-ass gray jersey. This reminds me of the City Connect with the cherry blossom.
Sure.
But I get up close and it's a map of the city. From far away, it looks dope, right? The helmet, the little patch on the sleeve, the Josiah Gray looking all sly, looking to the side. It looks really neat. And I get up close and it's like, oh, that's New Jersey Avenue right next to Half Street. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like reverse impressionism. It was a long analogy for a very mediocre punchline.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hats aren't terrible. The W is a little bit different. It's the attempt at like the block W to go kind of like the hat that I'm wearing, but just, you know, kind of broken up a little bit. It's got the Capitol Dome,
yeah, yeah.
And the W instead has got a little cutout similar to what the Caps do with the Capitol Dome and their logo. I don't know. I don't hate it, Danny. I don't. I need to see the full reveal, which I believe comes out on Sunday. They're going to have the team store open, and everybody, I think, can go over there. Season ticket holders, I think, get in 10-1, and then after that, everyone's available to go in 1-4 or something like that. I think they're going to have a whole event or whatever. But I don't know. They're not bad, but when you have something so good, it just – I hate that it's one of those things.
It's
where
not it's
one
thing that I love, yeah.
I just hate when companies do this, like Nike doing this with teams, and they do this in the NBA now every single year. It's like it's a one-size-fits-all approach. When you find one that's good, can we just stick with it? You know, like if you tried one out, like the Astros rolled out a new one. I didn't necessarily love their last one, but their last one was Navy, said Space City on it, and I was like, that kind of fits. You can stick with that. Some of them they roll out, and immediately the reaction is like, holy smokes, please never wear that again.
Yeah,
we'll try
no.
again with them. But with the Nationals one, it was like, you know what? You found a good one, just stick with it. I hate that it has to be the same for everyone, but I guess that's a company thing.
I want to start this conversation and then take some calls on it, too. If you're out and about, you're leaving work, coming to hang out, whatever the deal is, at 800-636-1067. Give me the under-the-radar signing for the Local 53 that's going to turn into this year's Dante Fowler. Last year, they paid Dante Fowler less than they paid the punter, Tressway, and he had 10.5 sacks. So if you're thinking, oh, it's it's Laremy Tunsil they traded for, Deebo Samuel, no, that's too high profile. I even think Javon Kinlaw is too high profile. I need you in the Eddie Goldman tier. I need you in the Kevon Seymour. I need you in Bobby Price territory. Will Harris is a starter. No. Give me the guy that you aren't, that nobody thinks is diddly or squadoosh, that actually ends up being very productive for them. I'm not saying that you got to have 10.5 sacks like Dante Fowler, but something. It could be KJ Osborne. Could be Michael Gallup. Could be any of the sort of the low-key, under-the-radar signings that you think ends up showing up and outperforming their previous deals and being one of those great Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, tip your cap, take a bow type finds, a la Dante Fowler last year. I got an answer, too. Toby's got an answer. Hopefully hear from you guys as well. 800-636-1067. Last segment to close out the week next on G&D.